بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد، فقد قال جل وعلا في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواء تبعا لما جئت به، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected علماء, respected elders, beloved brothers, whatever we see around us, whether it is visible to us or invisible to us, all this has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it be the physical things that we see, or whether it is those things that one cannot see, or those things that are invisible to us, or whether it is weather, whether it is the clouds, whether it is the sun, whether it is the moon, all this has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is the, you know, dominant over everything. وَاللَّهُ غَالِبٌ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is predominant over everything, but most of the people do not know this, or most of the people do not recognize this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who controls every condition that is happening in and around us, be it in any part of the world. Whether it is an oppressor oppressing in some part of the world, whether it is a person making the ibadat and worshipping Allah in some corner and in some part of the world where no person can see. So Allah sees what we are doing, Allah hears what we are doing, and Allah knows at every moment and every given time what a person is doing. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا أَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Allah is not unaware. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows at all times even what the oppressor is doing and what every person is doing. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, who knows everything and has the control of every condition in His own hands, and He controls everything and He is dominant over everything. إِنَّكَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. We read these verses of Quran, we say this, إِنَّكَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power over everything. Oh Allah, You are the most powerful, we're saying, and there's nothing, you know, that has more power than You, oh Allah. And this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to understand this, oh, every human being has to spend his time in understanding this and developing this in his heart, that my Allah is watching, my Allah is seeing, my Allah knows everything that I am doing. And the ayat al-kareema that I've recited in the khutbah brings us to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the implementation of following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And through the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, a person, you know, will understand who is Allah. لَقَدَ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Allah says, indeed there is in the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the most beautiful of examples, the most beautiful of ways. Allah has kept it in the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, if a person is following on the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, obviously this is a yardstick and a measure in order to attain success in this world, in the grave and in the akhirat. While the person follows the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he needs to bring about two qualities in his life. In the implementation of following the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he needs two ingredients with this, you know, to bring about these two ingredients in his life in order to attain the success and in order to live his life as a correct believer and as a correct Muslim. We submit, we say that I have iman, I have Islam, that I submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and iqrar, and we testify and we confirm to that. But we have to have these certain qualities in our heart, and these two ingredients, one of which is that I must become conscious of my Allah in my daily life. That my Allah is watching whatever I am doing. Allah is looking, Allah is seeing, Allah is hearing. If I'm speaking in a soft voice, may Allah can hear me. If I am not speaking at all, but a thought crosses my mind, Allah can hear me. If I am looking at something, then I know Allah is watching me at all times. سَوَاءٌ مِّنْكُمْ مَنْ أَسَرَّ الْقَوْلِ وَمَنْ جَهَرَ بِهِ وَمَنْ هُوَ مُسْتَخْفٍ بِاللَّيْلِ وَسَارِبٌ بِالنَّهَارِ إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ السُّدُورِ. That a person, you know, is speaking in a soft voice, or he's speaking in a loud voice. A person does not even speak at all, but the thought comes in his mind. And he has a thought comes in his mind, or something comes in his heart. Allah knows what is in the deep recesses of the heart of a person. This is the first condition in order, you know, to follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This implementation of this ingredient, of becoming conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is watching at all times. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu is walking on his way. He comes to a shepherd and he says to him, you know what, give me one of your sheep or sell me one of your sheep. The shepherd said, I cannot do it because my master will not agree. He said, your master is not looking now, he is not here at this time and this moment of life. Today we are faced with different, you know, tests that come upon in our lives. Whether we are in our businesses, and or whether we are in our homes, or whether we are interacting with people as well. You know, we are faced with certain tests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah grants a person wealth, then he has a certain level of test that Allah puts him through. Allah wants to see what is his condition of his heart, his action, his akhlaq, his way, and the manner in which he carries his way out. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, puts him through that test. A person in his home with his family, Allah puts him in a test that Allah has given him the ability, you know, to be in charge of certain people, you know, in his home or in his business. Allah wants to see in the manner and the way this person interacts with others as well. And Allah wants to see how does this person do. Now if this consciousness of Allah is not in the heart of this Muslim and this believer, then he is obviously going to do those things that will bring the displeasure of Allah. He is going to do those things that will bring the anger of Allah. He is going to do those things that are contrary to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when he has the understanding that my Allah is watching me every moment, every second of my life, then this person, you know, he will not break the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for nothing or no gain of this world, or nothing, you know, besides the monetary things of this world, for no, you know, keeping his name very high up, or for anything else as well. So this person is, you know, he's there. He could have sold one sheep to Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. But he said, no, I cannot do it. So he says, why can you not do it? Your master is not looking. He says, فَأَيْنَ اللَّهِ. He says, then, oh Abdullah ibn Umar, where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is Allah not watching? إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ إِنَّهُ سَمِيعٌ إِنَّهُ بَصِيرٌ. Allah is the one who is seeing. Allah is the one who hears. Allah can see at this moment and at that time. Allah can see the discussion that we're having between. Obviously, Abdullah ibn Umar, a giant companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was testing this person, was not wanting to take or usurp the right of this person. Today, the ummah is suffering a decline, or the ummah is suffering from certain sicknesses and diseases because of the fact of the iman. The effort of iman is not made, you know, or established in the deep recesses of the heart of a believer. That is why when Quran describes the type of iman we must have, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدِ اهْتَدَوْا. Allah says in Quran Surah Baqarah, you know, at the end of the first jud, Allah describes what type of iman we need. This, you know, this concept of iman, or this iman that we need to acquire and bring about in our hearts, you know, and understand, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is not an ordinary thing. This is something that which we can live our entire life by, and bring our entire, you know, Islam, the holistic belief or holistic Islam, which Allah commands us in Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dukhulu fi silmi kaffa. Allah says, oh, those who believe, enter into Islam in totality. Every aspect of our life, whether it is our business transactions and dealings, whether it is our social interaction, whether it is our belief, whether it is our ibadat, whether it is our mu'asharat, you know, and our mu'amalat, our akhlaqiyat, our ibadat, all that has to come, you know, in a manner, you know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with us and do it in the correct manner. But the foundation and the basis of this is the correct belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where I understand and I become conscious. And this is the first ingredient in order to implement the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I am conscious that my Allah is watching me at all times. So Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, you know, he tells him that and he gives that reply, فَإِنَ اللَّهِ. He says, when you are going by Makkah again, then just stop by me again. He speaks to the master, he buys the entire herd, he buys that person, that slave, and he sets him free for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا. Allah describes the iman that we should have in our hearts. Allah describes the iman that you and I require today, which requires a great effort in today's time. Today there is everything that is giving us da'wat and inviting us to ghayrullah, to inviting us to everything else besides Allah. We walk on the street, we look at billboards out there, it is saying ghayrullah. We in our businesses, it is saying ghayrullah. You know, we in our homes, even, you know, it is saying ghayrullah. Everywhere a person goes today, you know, they are making an effort that how they can take this human being from understanding and getting this realization and becoming conscious of Allah. Allah speaks about the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah says if they bring iman like how they had iman, then they will be rightly guided. Umar radiallahu anhu is reciting the verses of Quran in Surah Tur, and you know, by them to understand, you know, this, the reality of this, one of the mediums and the ways is looking into the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. Looking into the stories of Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. Their stories was not a means of fairy tale. Their history was not a history just to be spoken about. Their history and the role models that they were is something that we need to implement and, you know, learn in our lives. Read their stories, bring about this in our homes every day, so that the generations that we are going to leave behind and the future flag bearers of Islam understand today who are their role models. The name of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, the name of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, these were but young companions in the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the statuses and the izzat and the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them in that time, and the honor that Allah is giving them ila yawmil qiyamah, ila yawmil qiyamah, the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, has placed for them in this ummah, you know, is unmatched and unparalleled, you know, in the annals of history and in the future times as well. So Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Abbas, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about these people. So one of the mediums and ways is learning their lives. We want to understand what is iman. We want to understand how they live their lives. We have to look into their, you know, history and look into their lives and make a niyyah, you know, to follow in that way and take them as our role models. Umar radiallahu anhu is reading the verses, وَالتُّور وَكِتَابٍ مَسْتُور فِي رَقِّ مَنْشُور. It comes to the verses, إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّكَ لَوَاقِ. When Sahaba read the verses of Jannah, when Sahaba read the verses of Paradise, when they read the verses of Jahannam, you know, when they listened to the hardships and the difficulties that a person is going to undergo in Jahannam, when they heard the verses of the beauty and the description in Quran and in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of how Allah has given and how Allah has mentioned and how our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned about the beauties, you know, of Jannah, then they aspired for it immediately, you know, and they went out for it immediately. So on this occasion, Umar radiallahu anhu is reciting the verses of Surah Tur, and he comes to the verses, inna adhaba rabbika lawaqi. And Allah give us this understanding of, I mean, of the Arabic language and Quran. When a person, you know, has this understanding of that, you know, of the Arabic language and Quran, this effect that he has, you know, is more beautiful and is more, you know, is more intense and greater. So Umar radiallahu anhu reading this, and this was the type of iman that they had, and this is the type of iman that we require in our lives. That Umar radiallahu anhu is listening to this verse, inna adhaba rabbika lawaqi. He begins to, you know, washtadda buka'an. He begins to cry so intense, you know, and so severely. Umar radiallahu anhu begins to cry that people have to come to attend to him. People have to come to assist him and help him, because in the manner in which he is crying, you know, over this one verse of Quran. One verse of Quran, understanding, being conscious of Allah, being conscious of what Allah has created beyond, you know, and past this world. The other day we were mentioning that Allah has created us in this world, you know, for a very short period of time. And time is something that Allah has, you know, has created and Allah has made. And time is something that passes and never returns again. That is why the famous words of the poet was, حَيَاتُكَ أَنْفَاسٌ تُعَدُّ فَكُلَّمَا مَضَى مِنْهَا إِنْ تَقَسْتَ بِهِ جُزْعًا. This time that Allah has given us in this world. Remember, my respected elders, beloved brothers, we are not ordinary people. We are not those who have just come about. We are those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent into this world. We are those who Allah has chosen us to be of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This did not just come about. Allah looked with the eyes of mercy. And Allah chose every believer. And Allah chose every mu'min to be in the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a great honor and a great status from the side of Allah. That is why when Allah gives description to this ummah in Quran, Allah says, "Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas." You are not ordinary people. We are not ordinary people. Allah says, you are the best of the ummahs that have been created. And so many billions of people and millions of people from the time of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. That is why the ulama say this iman is such a valuable gift. Such a valuable gift that, you know, they said, even if a person is doing wrong and Allah forbid and save a person from doing any wrong, but the one who has iman in his heart and the one who is a believer, never look down upon him. Because it is Allah who has given and Allah who has chosen that person for iman. So when they were looking at the verses of Jannah, when they were reading the verses of Jannah, when they were reading, you know, the verses of Jahannam, there was a sahabi who was dark skinned in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he used to come and ask Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam a lot of questions. Umar radiallahu anhu says to him, do not burden Allah's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Umar radiallahu anhu obviously felt that he was burdening Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam by asking him so much questions. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, da'hu ya Umar. Leave him, Umar. Do not say anything to him. The verses of Quran are being revealed. Hal ata ala al insan heenum min al dahri lam yakun shay'an madhkura. You know, and carrying on the verses of, you know, of Surah Dahr. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, you know, is mentioning and reciting these verses. Such was the love, you know, of paradise. Such was the love, you know, of paradise, and such was the fear, you know, of Jahannam in the hearts of Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, that to the extent that while listening to the, you know, the verses of Jannah, you know, Surah Dahr, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reciting, you know, the beautiful verses of Jannah, you know, this person leaves the world and he passes away in this condition. And what does Allah's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam say? And this is something for us, this is food for thought for us to understand that where we are in this world today. And where we should be. What is our condition today? How come today in the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that in business, wherever you go, there's a story that someone's got to tell. This one owes me money, that one is doing that, that one has not paid me, that one is not doing that. This realization and consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَّا كَسَبَتْ, that a person is going to leave this world, this time that Allah has given, is a short time that a person lives in this world. That is why the poet says that every breath a person takes, you know, and every breath a person takes in his life, he is diminishing one portion and one part of his life. The dunya is not a place that we have come to stay. The dunya is a place that we have come to, you know, where we have come to live. We are transiting in this life. We are living in this life for a short period of time. And when Allah, you know, decreed for a person then to leave this world, this person is going to leave the world. That is why Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi said, and I mentioned this the other day, he said that, you know, our Salafus Saliheen was so particular in the manner that they spent their time in this world. And how they spend their time in this world, they were even more, you know, they gave more importance to that than we would give to our dirhams and our dananir. We would give, you know, to our wealth, or we would give to those things in our life. So this life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, this time that Allah has given us, is the occasion, is a, you know, is a amanat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And Allah is going to question us one day. And Allah is going to question us on that day, what have you done? You know, with your life, How have you spent your life? So these two ingredients that are required in order to implement the sunnah. One is that I become conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I become conscious that Allah is watching me. So in that way, a person is able to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that way, a person is able to live his life according to the teaching, you know, of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the second is developing that fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heart. That Allah is going to take me into task one day for whatever actions I am going to do. For whatever actions that I have done in this world. Whatever actions I have done in this world, Allah is going to question me on the day of Qiyamah. That is why the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لا تزول قدم ابن آدم يوم القيامة عن عند ربي سبحانه وتعالى حتى يسأل عن خمس. These advices of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, each one pertinent, each one, you know, a lecture on its own. But just in brief, on the day of Qiyamah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that a person will not be able to move from his place from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know this world. This world is a place of amal wala hisab. Inna akhwafu ma atakhawwafu ala ummati al-hawa wa tulul amal. Amma al-hawa fayasuddu anil haq. Wa amma tulul amal fayunsil akhira. Fahadihi al-dunya murtahilatun dahiba. وهذه الآخرة مرتحلة قادمة فإن استطعتم ألا تكونوا من بني الدنيا فافعلوا فإنك اليوم في دار العمل ولا حساب وأنتم غدا في دار الحساب ولا عمل أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام حديث سون المشكات شريف. That Nabi عليه الصلاة والسلام mentions a lengthy hadith but to teach us that the life of this world is something that we are departing by and leaving. The akhirat is something that we are going to enter and go towards. That we have to have that fear in our hearts of Allah. That we are going to stand in front of Allah Rabbul Izzah one day. And Allah is going to question us from every action that we have done in this world. When that fear enters in the heart of a believer, then his business dealings will come in the correct manner. He will not be stealing from others. He will not be taking and usurping from others. Because he will understand that Allah is going to question him one day. That this world is a place of, you know, we're leaving. The akhirat is a place that we are going to enter. Allah's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, this world is a place that is darul amal wala hisab. It is a place of action and no accountability. But the year after, Allah does not require any action from us. Allah does not want any ibadat from us on that time. Allah does not want a person to say, I'm going to be very honest on this occasion. And on this time, Allah does not want the salah of a person there. Why? It is that time where Allah is going to take hisab and there's no amal. That is why this fear of Allah, this consciousness of Allah, you know, has to enter into the heart of this person. So he says a person will not move from his position on the day of Qiyamah. On the day of Qiyamah, from his position, he's not going to move until Allah is going to ask him the certain questions. And amongst those questions, a person is going to be asked regarding his life that Allah has given. Sometimes we think this life that we are given, we own this life. Sometimes we think this life that has been given to us, it belongs to us. Allah says, no, this life that I have given you, it belongs to Allah. It is an amana and a trust from Allah. You will live in this world, you will look at the lives of Sahaba. You will look at the sunnah and the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You will live accordingly in that way. That is why the hadith that I've recited in the khutbah as well. Allah's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, La yu'minu ahadukum. He says that perfect iman, and that perfect iman will not enter into the heart of a believer until he implements and brings that implementation of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his heart. And he understands that the complete success that Allah has kept in the life of this person and in every facet and way of life. Deen is not just ibadah and salah in the masjid. That is one part of deen. Deen has many aspects and many ways to do it. And each one has its importance. And each one has, you know, it has to be done on its correct time and in its correct place. That we live our life and everything that we do in our lives. Whether again it is our muamala, our muasharat, our social interaction, our business dealings. That is why even amongst those questions on the day of Qiyamah is going to be asked regarding the wealth of a person. The wealth that Allah has given. In what manner did you earn that wealth and how did you spend that wealth as well? These are questions that Allah is going to ask. Why? This does not belong to us. This notion and mind frame and mind setting that it belongs to me or it is mine, this has to come out of our hearts, and we say that everything belongs to Allah. We have come from Allah, we are going to return to Allah. Everything belongs to Allah. That is why Allah says in Quran as well, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah says that Allah has purchased our health and wealth. Clear cut, you know, in Quran Allah is teaching us. And these are verses that we hear over and over again, where Allah is saying that Allah has purchased this. This does not belong to me, this belongs to Allah. The wealth that we have belongs to Allah. This body that I have is an amana and a trust from Allah. What do I need to do while living in this world? Utilize it in the manner that Allah wants. Live in the way that Allah wants us to live. You know, spend our wealth in the manner and the way Allah wants us to spend it. Earn our wealth in the way and the manner Allah wants us to, to earn it. Use this life in the manner that Allah wants us to live this life. And the end of all of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent us in this world. We have not come upon our own accord. We have not come here, you know, of our own accord. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent us here. So that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, has given us this life. And there are many other verses in Quran that explain to us and teach us the reason why we have been sent in this world, and many other ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this realization and this consciousness of Allah is an effort that we have to make on a daily basis. And this effort, every human being needs and requires this. No one is free from this. No one is free that he can say that I do not need to make this type of effort. Or I do not need to bring this, you know, you make an effort upon my iman. Because again, I say there are so many things out there and so many distractions in our life today that are taking us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are so many distractions today that are giving us invitation to everything else but Allah. So that is why we have to live our life in this manner and spend our time, you know, in this way. And again, in every facet and every part of life, not only in certain parts of life or in only in certain actions, but in all ibadat as well, you know, we have to, and all other things as well, we have to be conscious of Allah and we have to gain the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. And at the end of the day, Allah has not created us for no purpose and no reason. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَسًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Do you think that you have been created for no purpose and no reason? No, Allah had sent us in this world for a purpose. Allah had sent us in this world, you know, with an object. Allah had sent us in this world with a maqsad. That is why we learn from that sahabi when he walked into the court of Rustam. And he walked into the court and he have asked, you know, for what reason have you come? For what reason have you come? And we can understand through this that we have not come. Allah had sent us in this world. For what reason you have come? He says, we have not come. We have been sent by Allah. We are the naib and the deputies of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have been sent in this world for a reason and a purpose. We have not just been created just to eat, to live, to buy homes, you know, and just spend our time like that. We have been sent by Allah. Each human being, Muslim, has a responsibility, you know, to make such an effort in this life, be it upon himself, be it upon his family, be it, you know, upon the ummah at large. Each human being has a responsibility because he has been sent by Allah for a greater purpose. He has been sent by Allah for a greater objective. He says, we have not come, we have been sent by Allah. لِنُخْرِجَ الْعِبَادِ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْعِبَادِ إِلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ رَبِّ الْعِبَادِ وَمِنْ دِيقِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَىٰ سَعَةِ الْآخِرَةِ. He says that we have not been sent, we have not come, but we have been sent by Allah so that we will take out everything out of our hearts besides Allah and bring Allah in our hearts. And this is the da'wah and invitation that we will give while living in this world. We have been sent by Allah so that we will make ourselves understand and the ummah at large understand the narrowness of this life of this world and the vastness of the life of akhirat. We have been sent by Allah to live in this world so that we will make human beings understand the deception and the dhoka that is found in wealth, and to understand the beauty that Allah has kept in amal and the beauty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept in doing good actions. That is the reason why we have been sent in this world. So for that Allah has given us this Mubarak effort of Dawat and Tabligh. How this realization, this reality can come in our hearts. That is why Jamaats move throughout the entire world. MashaAllah, we have a Jamaat from Saudi Arabia. You have Jamaats from all over the world. For what purpose? For what reason? Making an effort that how this Iman, this realization, and these two ingredients can enter into our heart. One is the fear of Allah, and one is the consciousness of Allah. That is why Jamaats are moving throughout the entire world. That is why this Istima is going to take place in Tilts Crescent, the 9th, 10th and 11th of August, for this realization to come into our hearts as well. And every Muslim around us, and every Muslim home, every Muslim in this locality, and throughout this entire KwaZulu-Natal area or beyond that as well, how to encourage to attend this Istima. Like that our Jamaat has come from Cape Town as well, for the same purpose, that how we can encourage each other inshallah to attend this Istima, attend the programs of this Istima, so that we can hear these advices inshallah, and listen to these advices, so that this realization also can enter into our hearts as well. So may Allah give us tawfiq, understanding, give us this ability, and may Allah give us this reality of Iman. In conclusion, Allah give us that Iman which Allah mentions in Quran so beautifully. In a small statement of Quran, and Allah give us the hidayat by acting upon this Iman. فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدُوا. The lives of Sahaba were not ordinary lives. The lives of Sahaba, the Iman of Sahaba was of such levels. Allah grant us that Iman which they had. And Allah give us the ability, to use them as role models in our life. And Allah, bring about this Iman. And Allah bring about these good societies in our lives. So that, we all can live in harmony. And all we can live in the correct sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahumma. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.